I'm Michael Parr, and you are listening to the Sound of the Loons podcast.
Morning, afternoon, or evening, depending on when this finds you. Welcome to the Sound of the Loons podcast presented by Cub. I'm Steve McPherson, and I was going to welcome Callum Williams, but he's not even here. This messed my whole script up. Anyways, most importantly, we're delighted and honored to be joined by 2019's MLS Defender of the Year, and more importantly, the heart and soul of BS the Podcast with Benny Failhaber and Sal Zizzo, Ike Opara. Ike, how the hell are you?
I'm great that you plugged our podcast on this podcast because I have a bet that I have to do it over under. It's like 3.5, so you've already kind of taken.
Of mentions.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, well, we can get over 3.5 easy.
So. Benny Sal Podcast.
I've listened. It's really entertaining. It's great.
I joke it's the best hour of my week, and I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Maybe aside from the games.
Sure.
But no, it's good to get, you know, your peers on and be able to just talk in a setting that, you know, obviously is very relaxed and just kind of, you know, sounds like friends just, you know, shooting the whatever.
Yeah.
Can you swear on this thing?
I think we don't swear.
Okay. Your podcast isn't like cool as ours then.
Huh? I swear all the time. But I wish I could. But
yeah, we're shooting the poop since we're going PG rated.
We'll have to invest in a beep. Like
I think that'd be good.
Yeah.
That could be good.
All right. Eventually, we're going to talk a little soccer.
Okay.
But first of all, I just want to talk a little bit about your adopted home state, Minnesota, here. Your wife is from here, correct?
Close. But no, actually not really close. So she's from Nebraska. And her sister and her sister and her brother-in-law live up here.
All right, that's right.
Yeah.
His family. Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, and her couple cousins are in Rochester. So it was nice to see the familiar faces when we, you know, got the news we were coming here.
Yeah.
And, it made the transition a little easier.
Yeah.
It's still difficult, but definitely a little easier.
Have you had to do some family dinners and things like that?
Yeah. And honestly, we don't do them enough. I would like to do them more.
Sure.
They're about 20 minutes outside the city, 25 minutes, depending on the traffic or whatever. And so, it's good to be able to just, you know, see each other when we can. When the off season hits, hopefully it's longer. We can wait a bit to that. We'll be spending quite a bit of time, I think, for sure, because I'm always traveling. My wife, you know, hangs out with them quite a bit, but you know, I'm always on the road or fatigued. And I'm like, I can't do it. Unless they come to us, and I feel shellfish. So, it's been nice to have them around.
So you're saying you might be looking to get out of Minnesota through the winter months here?
Can't do it. I know. My wife's working. She's a vice principal. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I can't say. Peace out, Aaron. I'm out. I'll see you. See you in June next year.
Just leave her here.
No, we've got a couple of vacations planned together because of the education system and you know how it times up with the calendar.
Yep.
For ourselves, so that's actually really nice for our. Tying both of our schedules.
Yeah. So as far as Minnesota, have you gotten around the state at all? Have you gone up the North Shore or stuff like that?
So I've got a whole list of things to do. And, you know, obviously when it's cold, it's going to be a little bit difficult. But things that I really want to do, I've done some of the local things. I've just been, especially as the season's been going on, grinding so much that it's, you know, kind of tough to really, you know, expend a lot of energy, physical, whether it be hike or whatever, just, you know, doing things.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so that's kind of, you know, put that on the back burner. But I'm excited for this off season to be able to do some things that I can really feel like I'm building a community here, because that's kind of the one thing that we haven't done yet.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes it really a home feel is, you know, having the community. And, you know, me and my wife are still really searching for that.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, hopefully we can get that underway.
Yeah. Well, when I was in Kansas City, you gave me a great recommendation for Q39 for barbecue there. You even had the follow-up recommendation for an Italian place for lunch.
Yeah.
I didn't get that to go out to. As far as just stuff like that, like going out in the Twin Cities itself and hitting up some spots to eat or anything like that, is there any place you found or you've really enjoyed?
I love the Happy Gnome.
It's
actually when I came for New Year's, because I was, before I got traded here, I was here for New Year's. Spending time with Aaron's family, and they flew down, and so they took us to Happy Gnome, and I just remember having the best duck burger,
nice,
arguably I've ever had.
Yeah,
and I went back. I thought maybe that was just like a one time thing, and I've gone back several times since, and I'm like, okay, yeah, no, it's still probably the best duck burger.
Good.
Yeah,
the patio is terrific there.
Okay.
It's probably cold at New Year's.
Yeah, it was cold. It wasn't even. Well, actually, probably was available. It doesn't stop some people here when it's cold and snowing. True. But it's quality, in my opinion.
Yeah, the Happy Gnome, that's a great shop. There's Revival. Have you been there? That's right down the street from Happy Gnome.
Have not.
Really good. They have great fried chicken and great burgers.
Okay.
But I really enjoy Revival's one of those places that I try to send people who come here.
So. I can't eat that kind of stuff. You know that. I mean, that's a lie.
You had a duck burger.
Depends. Was it duck fried? Was it grilled?
Right. Okay. Like, you know. So you're looking for like the best salad.
I don't pay for salads going out. That's actually the one thing I refuse to pay for.
Sure.
I'm like, I'm not buying a salad as an entree. I can just make that at home. And my parents get so furious at me. And I'm like, why? Just go bag the bag salad at home if you really just want a salad.
Here's my issue with salads that you make yourself. They're never as creative or guided. Yeah. You know, like I go to a salad bar and I pick things that I think are good. And then I just end up with like, well, this is just it's a mix of everything. It doesn't have an identity. Yeah,
I don't disagree with that logic at all. But however, you're going to be hungry in 7 minutes. So what's the point of paying $50 for a salad? The whole thing just doesn't make sense to me.
You got to put some meat on there.
Yeah, is it really a salad at that point if you're just throwing on like?
Well, it's like a Chipotle when you get this. There's like the burrito bowl or the salad, and they're the same option. They just ask you the same questions, basically. Like, do you want? Right. You can get rice and lettuce in your salad. And so,
we don't have a computer. Oh, yes, you have a computer. Can we fill up the technicality of a salad? Actually, do that later. I don't know.
Yeah, whatever. We'll put a note on the when we post this out. But like, I don't know. I mean, it's sort of the sandwich is a hot dog. A sandwich is, you know.
What do you think it is?
I think hot dog is its own category.
I agree.
Okay, now burger. Is a burger a sandwich?
I've never thought about it.
These are the tough questions. These are the tough questions you get on the Sound of the Loose podcast.
It's more of a sandwich than a hot dog.
Okay. All right.
I don't think it's a sandwich either.
This is a real sticking point for me because I also don't feel it's a sandwich. However, here's my devil's advocate argument. If you have a burger, it has bacon on it, it has cheese on it, it has some barbecue sauce on it, you know, like that kind of
lettuce,
a burger.
Right. Tomato. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. That's a burger, right? If you replace it with a chicken breast, what would you call that? I mean,
touché, chicken sandwich, right? Touché.
Yeah. So I don't know.
That's a technicality. Moving on.
All right, moving on. All right. Let's talk a little bit of, let's dip our toes into soccer here. I have definitely seen your center back partner, Michael Boxall, Boxy, get into it a little bit with other players. He's got kind of a quiet way of just bodying guys and then letting him know where he is. And maybe talking a little bit. Kevin Molino also, I feel like, has a good trash talking game a little bit out there, like kind of in a playful way, but very good getting under guys' skins. How is your trash talking game? Do you talk trash?
Well, actually, probably the best trash talker is Ethan on our team.
Oh, okay.
Which is hilarious.
Yes.
My trash talking.
It's the little guys you got to look out for.
Yeah. Listen, now he's going to come after you, that guy.
Friend of the pod. He was our first guest.
Oh, was he?
Who was a player.
So, okay. Yeah. He was probably so, like, you know, political.
Oh, he's great.
Presidential.
He's so good at it. Yeah. He's a good talker.
Loosen up, Ethan.
No. Yeah.
It was better when I was younger. Now I just don't have time for it. Like, I really just rather focus on, like, trying to, you know, save my energy for things that matter.
Yeah.
Every now and again, try to get in someone's head, but really, I don't. I mean, unless someone's trying to square up, then it's a different ball game. But for the most part, I don't even bother.
You just go about your business.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are there guys you have to defend who are trash talkers? Do guys trash talk you? Or are they trying to get in your head?
You got a couple that will try. And, you know, after a couple years of playing them, they know, like, I'm not going to. I'm just not gonna take the bait. I don't care.
Right. It's not worth it.
But you know how we're playing this weekend. Doesn't care who you are. And
right.
You know, if he tries, he tries. And if you allow it to happen, then whatever. But I don't know. I'd rather focus on other things, to be honest.
Yeah. I'm going away from soccer, but I want to go back to the podcast. And this is a question I wanted to ask about your budding podcasting career and everything like that. well, what was the podcast called again?
I think it was called Benny Style Podcast.
Okay.
plugged again.
So what's appealing to you about podcasting? Like, what, I mean, you said it's one of the best hours of your week. Like, what do you feel like you get out of doing it?
You know, I think because we could take it so many different directions. And so it's to the point where we used to jot down notes of what we, you know, subjects, ideas we want to talk about. And now every now and again, actually, I have to do for my segment. Like, I have to have some questions.
You have
prepared.
A form. You
correct.
Do the
interrogation part. Where the guest has the five questions. If they plead the fifth, they can only plead the fifth on one of them. And if they answer all five, they can ask us any question that we have to answer.
Okay.
So it gets pretty difficult.
Yeah.
and Sal takes zero notes. Sal's notebook is pathetic.
It's empty.
Yeah, I don't even know why he owns one. His doodling, there was one time he had a doodle. I think I tweeted it. It was like the doodling of a second grader. I can't even fathom what he was doing.
Yeah.
But so now it's to the point where we go free flow. We just talk and we want it to be obviously conversational, but it's literally just, you know, I think it gives a unique perspective of guys who have played or playing.
Yep.
And just stories that you'll never see you would never known. And just, you know, kind of getting, because I think, you know, fans, especially they want more than, you know, what they see on the field and very standard cliche interviews where, you know, reporters ask questions. And at the same time, you know, you're never going to be 100% relaxed with a reporter because there's always spin zones or it could be bait. Who knows, right? So with us, it's literally just as honest and whatever you're willing to share. And I think, and it's authentic. And I think when, you know, we do that, it's the best form of a podcast for us. The cool thing is, like, if ever someone said something that they weren't comfortable with, we could just edit it out. Yeah. And that's rarely happened.
Yeah.
If anything, we've only edited it down for time.
Yeah.
Because we can go on for hours, which is funny because people are like, oh, we want more. Like, we went for like an hour and 10 today. Like, I thought that was long enough. Yeah. They're like, we want 2-3 hours. And I'm like, you guys are just being greedy now.
Yeah.
But
the length of podcast things is sort of touchy. Like, I try to keep it to, like, you know, when we do ours, we sort of like 40 is sort of, I think, is a sweet spot, you know. But because sometimes I look at, I have podcasts I listen to and I see that it's like a 90-minute podcast. I'm like, man, my job's got to be farther away from listen to this whole thing.
So. Yeah. Well, when you've got, so we've had a couple great guests on there and I myself was like, I want this to go on for hours.
Yeah.
And those are the times that I'm like, I think we're doing something really cool here that's very unique, especially really in all of sports.
Yeah.
And definitely in MLS.
Yeah.
And that's been the cool thing to do. And I've seen other, you know, athletes have in MLS and NBA and whatnot have podcasts, but it's just a different format. A lot of the time, especially MLS guys, and just being able to bring on guests. I think the way we do it is great. I wish our audio was better, but we have to Skype because we're in 4 different locations.
Sure. Yeah.
But, you know, I think we make up for it with the quality of stories and what we try to talk about.
Yeah. Do you see any pitfalls to it? I mean, are you wary of that, like exposing yourself too much? I think it's a thing that comes up a lot nowadays with athletes and being on social media and what that does and things like that.
I think the only good thing about it in that regard is what we can control everything.
Sure.
So, you know, if I really wanted to go out there and cause a stir, I could do it. Because it's all of us. I could say whatever I want, right? I could say whatever about Kansas City. I could say something about Minnesota. I could do whatever I want. And I could be, in own way, our own form of news if we really wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's actually kind of crazy that, like, you know, we can say things. Cause we've done interviews and whatnot that, you know, have been quoted in other articles and other publications. And it's like, okay. So what we do say, obviously,
people are listening, right. Yeah.
It's wild that we get to control you know, what we do. And obviously, you could always say something that you regret, but it's a little bit different than you being asked questions and getting set up thinking you're answering it, you know, very courteously. And then it's spun a completely different way because they clipped out a sentence or two.
Right.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
What is the rest of the context? So I think that's pretty nice because print versus, you know, voice is just two different things. When I read quotes, I'm like, oh, that sounds terrible. And then I hear the same quote in maybe a different context. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I get it now. Like, he was joking when he said, oh, like, I don't like it or I want to get traded or whatever. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Like, if you read that and it's like, oh, that sounds terrible. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it always, when I used to cover the NBA, and I remember you would get every summer, I would cover the Wolves a lot, and you would get quotes from Ricky Rubio in the offseason, and it was an interview done for a Spanish language paper in Spain, translated by somebody into English, and then clipped and quoted on a Reddit page. And I'm like, you've lost so much of the context of what he is saying. Like, you just don't listen to any of that stuff.
Exactly. But then, I mean, it depends on what your angle is or your narrative or whatever you're trying to do. If you're trying to make, you know, paint Ricky Rubio be a bad person.
Yeah.
You know, that's where you lose the trust with, you know, the athletes. And so, like, that's why it doesn't, you know, I always try to be as, you know, as courteous to, you know, anyone that interviews me as possible. And I think over the course of time, you know, people start to really figure out your personality if you stay the same way And I think that's the only benefit, I guess.
Yeah. It's a process. I mean, I think, you know, as you get to know, you know, someone who you get to talk to a bunch of times, then I think you develop a rapport. And so then there's that trust. And I think that's an underrated element. I mean, I think nowadays, especially with media, it's like everything has got to be a hot take. Everybody's trying to make a name for themselves out
especially there. Especially in sports.
So, yeah.
Sports is like, man, I don't even know why it's called Sports Center anymore. Sometimes it's like, I just wanted to see the box score.
Right.
I just want to see some highlights. I don't want to hear
watching
about
the top 10. That's what I wanted to see.
Exactly. That, so. I don't want to necessarily hear every hot take from, you know, Skip Bayless. Like, I don't want to hear that. Like, I really don't.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, that's just for each their own, I guess.
Yeah. So when you're not, focused on soccer, when you get into the off season and in times in between, what do you do when you're not focused on that? Are you a music guy, movie guy, you know?
Yeah, I would say I have an addictive personality guy.
Okay.
That's who I am. I like to go through phases and things.
Okay.
Like, I'll, for like 3 months, read hardcore. The next 3 months, music, hardcore. I'm on the, since I've been podcasting, I listen to podcasts actually all the time, from whether it be societal, the sports range, casino runs. I used to hit that up for a few months of my life. Like, I'll just, you know, do things and keep it moving and try a new thing and keep it moving.
Yeah.
That's kind of what, that's pretty much me in a nutshell.
Yeah. I can appreciate that. I sort of feel like that's how my career has been. I do something for, you know, 3 or 4 years and then I do something else. I was a musician. That's what I studied. And then I was a music journalist and then I was a teacher and then now I'm working in sports. So yeah.
There you go. You've done it all.
I have the same
thing. You've got perspective though in a lot of areas.
I try.
Sure. Yeah.
I hope that helps. So, What are you into right now? Where are you in the cycle right now?
I would say I'm currently in the podcast cycle.
Okay.
Just because of, you know, podcasting. But, you know, we're our last episode will be this coming week.
Okay.
And then we're gonna kind of take a break for the season.
Sure.
Maybe do a bonus episode every now and again until the next season, which will then have my name included on the Benny Sal podcast.
You'd be a full partner.
Full. Because I'm the one keeping this thing flow. That's why I always joke with him.
That's right.
And so, because Sal at this point is useless. We love crushing Sal. I mean, he doesn't come with any notes. Like, the guy is
right.
Yeah, he just has his name. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But we've got merchandise, which is funny. So his brother actually, you know, runs the whole social media, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got the merchandise set up. And it's like, we sell merchandise? Like, it's like funny. And but like funny to think of. Like, I don't know. Maybe this thing actually blows up one day. And, and then next thing, you know, you won't see me on the weekend here because I'll just retire. And
You got to lay the foundation for the career, right?
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. Let's talk about, we got a little more time here before we get into, we got a special segment at the end, which I'm not going to spoil, but, let's talk a little bit about the actual game that is coming. There's sort of a big game coming up this weekend. If you're aware,
the Vikings, are they playing?
Yeah, I think that's right. So, you're going to have to handle Zlatan, on Sunday, which, you know, we'll talk a little bit about that specifically. But I sort of wanted to ask, what are some of the other tough matchups you've had in your career in MLS? Like, some of the guys who have given you maybe the most trouble as attackers. And then, like, why? Is it, what gives you the most trouble? Size, speed, strength, things like that.
I think for me, the most difficult ones were when I was younger. Excuse me.
Okay.
Robbie Keane used to be a nightmare for me.
Mm.
And he was definitely on the best team for those few years.
Yeah.
And I mean, his movements, the rapport he had with his guys, his teammates, his quality, their quality, it was just a nightmare defending him. His timing, his technical abilities, tactical positioning, it was arguably, in my opinion, the hardest that I've ever had to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when I was younger, I mean, I was trying to figure out, you know, things and, you know, it was like, all right, this guy is like, he's eating me for lunch and he's not like overly quick or strong and all these things. He's just wavelengths ahead of me.
It's not one thing.
No.
It's the combination of everything.
And so for me, he was the biggest one. You know, I think as I've developed and time has gone on, I actually think that, you know, my abilities, I'm able to defend any kind of forward, luckily, you know, from the quick guys or the speed, you know, fast guys to the strong guys. It's not really one that particularly, like, skill set that, you know, is like, oh, okay, that one's a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, like, the guys that are unassuming are always just so difficult because, you know, strikers, you know, can turn the ball over and whatever all game and they score a goal and everyone thinks they had a great game, right? And so, you know, you play your guys like Wondolowski. And luckily, I got to train with him. And so I saw a lot of movement.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's just like, in that moment, what can you do when a guy's like –
he's very sneaky. He's got a nose for the goal.
Exactly. Because it's not in the buildup where guys, you know, really kind of scare you, or it's not in the necessarily their 1v1s trying to beat you with the, you know, beat you on the dribble before hitting the shot. It's like guys who are quick and clever, like mentally being able to take a touch, hit a shot, or like get in the open spots that always make you think. And so those are like, I think the most difficult forwards to defend.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned with Robbie Keane, that sort of that communication with the rest of his team, that sort of sense of where he's going to be. That seems like one of the things that's got to be very tough, because the entire defense has to be attached. Correct. To understand where everybody's going to be and to anticipate things and not lose focus on where somebody is.
Correct. I mean, you shade too far out. Let's say a forward drifting out to the corner of the 18, and as a center back, you shade too far out. Leave your other center back partner possibly on an island with maybe another forward, probably a holding or a second line run from midfield coming in.
Mm-hmm.
He's screwed. So you worry so much about, you know, the forward on the other, or maybe the star forward, that you leave some other people out to dry, and it could be vice versa. So they're always dangerous. It's like Bradley Wright Phillips. There's nothing that Bradley Wright Phillips has that is like so unbelievable. Yes, he's a great finisher when he gets the opportunity. But it's not like he's some crazy build-up guy that you worry about being one-on-one. It's just he gets around that box, and he's somehow so creative at getting shots off. And obviously when he gets it off, it probably hits the back of the net. So,
So is there some concern sort of in that realm with Zlatan, because he does draw so much? I mean, not maybe so much for – I mean, I think you guys know that it's an entire team that's difficult, and a lot of those attacking players are dangerous. So, but is there some of that risk of Zlatan draws so much he's got so much gravity, like so much attention is on him, that some of those other guys can feast?
Yeah, and as they've added Pavone, Tuna's, you know, had a very good season, underrated amongst that team. Leggett, if he's healthy and getting going, he's able to make late runs. I mean, they've got quality going forward.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously Zlatan reaps most of the benefits going forward because they're always looking for him. And so using me, for example, if he's floating to the back stick, if he floats too far back, yes, I match up well with him, I think, in the air. But I can't float but only so far before he's on, you know, maybe Romain's side.
Yeah.
And then I've got to trust that Romain can do the job. And so it's always difficult because he's the big scorer, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that anyone else on that team can score. Obviously they can, but
he's
the guy that, you know, at the end of the day, if he gets a shot off, and shots, especially several, one's going to hit the net.
Yeah.
I mean, you just hope that he has a, you know, bad day in front of the net. And so it becomes a little bit of a luck game if you're allowing him so many opportunities. So it can be difficult, to say the least.
Is there something to just kind of giving him a punch in the mouth early? Like, not literally, but just sort of you show him early on, like, we're going to be tough.
Well, that's what we better do, because if not, he smells weakness.
Yeah.
And the second he does, it's tough.
That's it.
It's tough. Yeah, it's tough.
All right, well, thank you for that. We're going to move into a special segment that we like to call Jerk or Nah. It's going to be run by our good friend Shields here, who works in social media. He's the intern. And so he's gonna propose a couple questions to you about whether you believe certain behaviors would make someone a jerk or nah. It's okay.
Okay.
All right.
Nail it. Let's do it.
All right, what's up, Daddy?
Hey,
first time, long
my guy right here.
First time, long time. all right, first one's first. People who back into parking spaces.
Wait, only one parking spot.
Yeah, back in.
But like you
when they could, just like just park
in. Pull in regular, but like somebody wants to back in so they can make a quick getaway in case something happens.
Yeah, it's very rare that you, unless there's an absolute reason to do it. It's not really a jerk move. It's just unnecessary. So that's my answer, I guess.
All right, we're going to go as jerk for that one. All right. People who take the elevator up one floor or down one floor.
I mean, jerk. If you're just, if you're fully capable and healthy.
When you're in a building where there's like 20 floors and you got to go to the 18th floor and somebody gets on and they go like,
That drives me more insane than like if you're coming from the garage, the basement to go up.
Sure.
It could be a little bit different.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Like if underground parking in Minneapolis. Yeah. But if you're going to go to 18th, going to the 19th. Yeah. Take the steps.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. We take the stairs. Shout out Gopher Soccer on that one. This one is a big one of mine. People who listen to music in public without headphones.
Just did that one yesterday. Well, my wife did it, and I actually didn't care. I would normally have been like,
"What was the situation? Yeah. Like, where were you?"
We were on the Greenway going to the lakes, and she just threw on songs. So
like
she's
on
a jerk.
Her phone.
Yeah, she's a jerk.
Just walking.
Yeah, I don't. If there are no people, if it's crowded, Yeah, you're definitely a jerk. It wasn't crowded, actually.
Okay.
If it's crowded, you're a jerk. If it's not crowded, do you?
All right, context. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah. All right, next one. This one's big in the Twin Cities. People who, or whomst, ride Lime scooters.
I own a scooter, so no. Yeah.
So you think it's okay?
To just ride a scooter?
Well, like the little ones you rent and then, you know.
Yeah, that's one. I own one of those.
You got one.
I've got one, yeah. Right. It's great when my wife is like, gets home from work and she's like, let's go. I want to go for a run. Like, come with me. I'm like, I just practice all day. I'm not going outside to run. So I'll scooter behind her.
All right, okay.
Which is actually kind of like, I'm curious what people think when they see me scooting and her running.
I see people where they're biking and somebody else is running. Yeah. I'm like, you're the laziest. Like,
I've done that one too.
But I don't know the story.
Exactly. I'm like, I'm not going back outside.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So, right. Jerk? No, I don't know. No, I got one.
You're saying
no.
All right, last one.
Last one. People who don't say goodbye while talking on the phone, they just hang up.
Oh, on the phone, you're a jerk.
That's a jerk.
Like, what do you mean? Like, just hang up? Like, mid-sentence, just hung up on you?
No, they just like, all right, the conversation's over. Instead of saying goodbye, they just hang up.
What about just like people who are bad at hanging up? Like, do you have anybody? Like, my dad is like that. He just can't like just end the conversation correctly.
I think I know what you're going for. Context, though, again. Okay. Context.
Follow up to that. People who call you on the telephone.
Just people. You use a phone. I never use a phone anymore.
You're not. You're only a jerk if you text me and I say, what's up? And then you call me. Then I'm furious. Yeah, you're a jerk then.
That's fair. All right. Well, Ike, thank you so much for coming out, making time. I know this is a busy week for you. Thanks to everybody for joining us on the 79th Sound of the Loons podcast presented by Cub. Minnesota United's next game is its first ever playoff game on Sunday, October 20th, against the LA Galaxy, a little team from LA, at 7:30 p.m. on ESPN and ESPN Deportes. Be sure to leave us a nice review on iTunes or at the very least a 5-star rating. You can follow the team on Twitter at MNUFC. You can follow Cal, who's not here, the bum, at CalWilliams.com. You can follow me at Steve Entrist. What's your
It's either Ike Opara or Ikenna Opara, but really, the real handle is the Benny Kissal podcast on Twitter, Instagram.
Listen, Apple, rate, subscribe. Spotify,
rate, subscribe.
Stitcher.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Give us a good rating. Just roast Sal in the ratings. In the reviews. Yeah. But like, give Ben and I great ratings.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Sounds good. Apologies, as always, to Richard Wagner. And remember, there's only one person in this whole world like you, and people can like you exactly as you are.